So thankful for the refreshing of the Lord tonight and the encouragement He's given us for the year ahead. Now listen, this is a very important service this evening for many things, but there's not going to be another service like this one tonight, this year, for Union Pentecostal Church. And let me tell you why. Tonight I'm going to introduce to our church body what I feel as pastor is our vision and direction for we as a people this year. I'm going to share that, and with that, I'm going to begin tonight individually to challenge you specifically about this vision. And so this may just be a matter of speaking, but I beg your indulgence tonight to full attention. It's in the message that we're given and not necessarily how we're going to present it tonight. But I would like for you to turn in your scripture to Acts chapter 2, just to make one point here. In fact, just to look at a particular word that is in these passages. Amen. So appreciate the way God is touching our hearts this evening. I want to say also, as you're turning, I'm so appreciative of the faithfulness of God's people. And I never try to create a us versus them or in any way say this in arrogance. It's in gratefulness. But I appreciate your faithfulness in 2016 to have enough interest in worshiping God that we can have a service on Sunday night. And your faithfulness is a testimony to your walk with God and your desire to worship Him. Also, it's good tonight to see Wesley and Jocelyn. They're here visiting, and good to see Joey Begley here tonight too. Good to see him, and good to see all of God's people tonight in His house. Would you stand for the reading of God's Word? Appreciate that honor of His Word. This is going to be so simply practical tonight, but I do believe it's the direction God would have us go. Great revival's happening, folks getting saved. In verse 40, with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. I'd say that's revival, 3,000 get saved in one day. Verse 42, here it is. And they, though this next word isn't the one in particular, it's an important word, and they continued. They continued. It's one thing to have the touch of God, get saved. I promised I wouldn't preach here, and here I go. It's one thing to get saved and have a touch of God and to feel His presence. It's another thing to continue in that. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. And they continuing, here it is, here's the word, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, they got together, and breaking bread from house to house, they did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. In other words, there was daily some things they did in their walk with God. Daily, the scripture says. That's what they did. Look at verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Do you see the connection? The people of God did some things daily. Therefore, God did some things daily. The vision I have for this year for our church, I'm going to express it in just one word. Daily. 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 Amen. Daily. In particular, tonight, the challenge is going to be in the daily department. It's going to be about your Bible. Your Bible. Amen. You can be seated this evening. I was driving through Trotwood, and a church had this on their marquee, and it so succinctly expresses what was on my heart to share that I wanted to share it with you. I know things can become cliche, but this is important. Do you have that ready, Brother Dearth? It simply said on the marquee, daily devotion beats yearly resolutions. Daily devotion beats yearly resolutions. People make these resolutions. This year I'm going to do this, this and that. Let me tell you a better way to approach it, especially in spiritual matters. Just simply have things that you are devoted to do daily, every day. This is the message tonight. Now, I want to call your attention briefly. I got to set the stage for this, but these folks I read about in Acts chapter 2, the salvation they received affected the totality of their lives. Put it this way, they lived differently every day. They lived differently daily than the world around them. And we see in the scripture that I read that daily there were certain things that they did. They prayed daily. They discussed and were taught the doctrine, the scripture, daily. They fellowshipped daily. They worshiped daily. And from indication of the text, they even took communion daily. The point is they got a real faith, and having a real faith affects your daily life in every way possible. But the only way of faith that affects your daily life is possible is if there is a daily practice to your life. In other words, there are things you do daily. I got a question for you, and it's one of those chicken or egg questions. Does a faith strong enough to affect your daily living lead you to do certain things daily? Or does doing certain things daily give you a faith that changes your life? Which is it? Is it getting a faith that changes your life leads you to do things daily? Or is it doing things daily that leads you to a faith that will change your life? I don't think it's a matter of cause and effect. I think they go together. I think if you get a faith enough, a faith real enough and strong enough to change the way you live, then there will be certain things that you as a believer will do every day. And I think if you're a believer that does certain things, we're talking about devotion, every day, I think it will give you a faith strong enough. It'll change your life completely and totally. I'm trying to show us from these scriptures that that is what happened. But all of this, a strong faith that changes your life or doing certain things daily, is contingent on being born again. Because see, when we're born again, we have the desire birthed in us to do certain things. You don't have to teach somebody born again that they ought to pray. They want to pray. You don't have to teach somebody that's been born again they need to read their Bible. They want to read their Bible. You don't have to teach somebody that's born again that they should desire worship. They want to worship. Because when you're born again, the desire is birthed in your heart daily. Listen, did you know this is disturbing? But I would see if you agree with me or not. For many people, the only time they are distinctly Christian is when they come to worship or they get in trouble. For a whole lot of people who call themselves Christians, the only time they are distinctly Christian is when they come to worship or they get in trouble. The remainder of the time in their lives, in their habits, in their practices, in their entertainment, in their conversation, they are indistinguishable from the world. Listen, church, in Jesus' own words, being a true believer is not just one who comes to Jesus. Being a true believer is one who follows Jesus. See, a lot of people preach you're saved if you come to Jesus. And Jesus gave an invitation to come. But a true believer is not one who has just come to Jesus. A true believer is one who follows Jesus daily. 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 Now listen. There is an expression, and some may mean it derogatory. I certainly do not. But have you ever heard the terminology weekend warrior? Sometimes it's used in reference to those in the reserves, or what's the other one I'm thinking about? National Guard. I do not use it in a derogatory sense because those men and women, they devote their life to service. They work hard. They're committed to it. And when they're called upon, they answer the call of duty to protect us. But I use it in this sense, weekend warrior, because what they are in the week gives you no indication of what they are when on the weekend they go for the training, in the weekend they go for the practice, in the weekend they go. I mean, they might be sitting behind the desk during the week as an accountant. They might be a clerk at the bank, and you'd have no indication that they're in the military or they're specially trained or they know how to fire the weaponry of a tank, or they know, you wouldn't know that. But on the weekends, they become something that they aren't during the week. And again, I'm not using that derogatory. I'm using it as an illustration. I want to tell you, in the thing of serving God, we have way too many weekend warriors. One thing during the week, and then they come to church, and there's something completely different. They're a worshiper. They're an amener. They're someone with their Bibles open. I want to tell you, when we get a genuine faith, we will not be weekend warriors. We will be warriors every day, daily. I mean, how are we going to say that? How are you going to say that to God? Now, God, I'll serve you on Sundays, and I'll serve you on Wednesdays, but God, don't expect me to serve you on Monday and Tuesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. No, we don't just come to Christ. We follow Christ. And so could I put it together to say true Christians are those who are Christians every day. They're Christians daily. They are those who are seeking to be like Jesus. They're seeking to follow Jesus. They're seeking to obey Jesus. They're seeking to do His will daily. Look what Jesus says in Luke chapter 9. He said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross." Say it with me. Take up his cross daily and follow me. The daily goes not only with the taking up of the cross, but it's all part and parcel of following me. Amen. We follow Him daily. We are not weekend warriors. I want to go so many directions with this. I can't. I've got to get to the challenge tonight. But let me just say simply, if you are following somebody and you stop for just a little bit, they are soon out of sight. If I told Brother Cruz, I said, "Brother Cruz, I know where a pot of gold is out in the woods if you'll just follow me. And here it is Sunday, and you take, I'll follow me," and we get to walking. And it comes Monday, and you say, "Well, I think I'll take a break," and I keep walking. You're going to lose sight of me in a hurry. You'll never make it, will you? Some folks, they go through the motions of following Jesus on Sunday, but they quit following Him on Monday. But make no mistake, if you quit following Him on Monday, He's still been going on. You've lost sight of Him. Amen. He's out of sight. You're in a place where you don't know where He's. You know, we used to sing a lot of songs about following Jesus. How many realizes how things change in the church? I challenge you, go back even 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, and especially in the early part of the last century. The church was singing songs about following Jesus all the time. Now the songs are about how Jesus is a good high, and you know, Jesus will fix your problems and do this and that. We have almost totally lost this message that we don't just come to Christ. We follow Him. You see, in the following, you can't escape the analogy of walking. That's one at a time. That's daily. Daily, every day, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and get back to Sunday. Did you know most nowadays, now this is so important to what I'm going to say, and I'm going to bring this together in a moment, but most today do not see being a Christian as following Jesus step after step, following Him daily. They see being a Christian in terms of big moments. Big moments, things like being born again, that's being Christian. Or a special worship service, a big moment, or a moment of temptation, or a moment to give your testimony, or a moment when you're in trouble. They see serving Christ in terms of big moments. Now, I'm going to deal with that in a moment, because serving Christ is not a matter of big moments. It is a matter of daily, daily. Let me give you this illustration. I didn't want to spook Luke out, but I kept glancing at him tonight as he was playing the guitar. Let me tell you why. I know many of you do that know about music, you admire the way Luke plays the guitar. But let's say that you have aspirations. And you said, I'd like to play the guitar like Luke does. And so you watch Luke. And I didn't get all down because I didn't want to spook him out. And you can strum a few chords, but you don't play like that. And so you say, I like to play the guitar like Luke does. And so you watch him, and you watch him how he stands. You watch him how he puts his head at that angle. And then you watch how those fingers fly over those frets like that. And the way he moves that pick. You say, I'll do that. I'll stand like him. I'll get a stool. That's what I'll do. I'll get a stool. And I'll sit there like at that leg there. No, he don't do that. He don't do that. Now see, in our illustration, you're seeing Luke at the big moment. He's playing in church. But I want to ask you, do any of you think that if you'll just stand like he stands, have your head like he has it, move your fingers like he moves them, sit on the stool like he does, do you really think you'll produce music like he produces? No. Many people live their Christian life like that, like it's a performance of what you do in the big moment. I'm going to be like Jesus. I'm going to turn the other cheek. And so there's a moment of temptation. I'll turn the other cheek. I'll follow what he said, do. You see, trying to be like Jesus can never happen in the big moments and be successful. Let me ask you one question. What if the only time Luke ever played the guitar from the beginning was at church? Would he be playing the guitar like he plays it if the only time he ever played it was at church? No. Maybe if he was 150, that might add up to enough, but he wouldn't. You see, even Luke wouldn't play the guitar like he does if he only did it at church. Isn't that right? How much more can we as Christians understand that we can never be like Jesus if it's what we just do at church? It'll never happen. We can do all the right things at church, go all, through all the motions of, and we'll never be like Jesus if the only time we do those things is at the big moment of church. Amen? Or in the big moment of temptation. You see, Luke has spent long hours. I don't want to embarrass you, but you spent long hours in lessons. I just promise you. I don't care how talented you are. You still have to learn the coordination and the muscle memory and all of that. He spent long hours in practice. He's spent long hours at the lessons. He's built up calluses on his fingertips. You don't even think about that. On the side of his fret and finger, he's built up the calluses. He's trained the reflex part of his brain. He doesn't think every time he moves his fingers anymore. He's given up other things to play the guitar. Now listen, it's no less in music. I'm not saying it takes any less effort and dedication, but did you know in sports, it takes even a greater devotion of lifestyle? Because you know, Luke can eat what he wants to, and he's still going to be able to play the guitar. But I want to tell you, if you devote yourself to being an athlete, it affects even your daily diet. And you may, I don't know if you get miniature barbells and work out your fingers, but you don't have to work out with weights every day. A daily regime of, but if you're an athlete, you do. And see, but here's how people think, Brother Bill. They see one of these great athletes out on the field and in the big moment, and he swings his bat a certain way, and he projects that ball out there, and they think, you know, that'd be wonderful. If I'd hold the bat like he did, if I'd get my stance like he did, I'd hit like he did. But I'm going to tell you something. He'd never hit the way he did at the big moment in the stadium if that was the only time he swung a bat. Pretty much, Brad, he's swinging the bat every day. He's working out. It affects his diet. How much more being Christians? It's not in the big moments. It's what we do daily, every day. And so I want to say tonight, it comes down, our life with God, our following Jesus, it comes down to what we do daily. It is what you do or don't do daily over the span of those countless, uneventful, ordinary, routine days that determines what you and I are going to be like in the special moment, in the crises, and even at the church. Amen. Did you hear what I said? It's not what happens in the big moment. It's what happens over the span of those everyday days that are routine and mundane. What do we do then? Listen, it was wonderful tonight. Amen. But you know the difference. Amen. It's wonderful to feel God's presence when you worship in the house and when you pray in church. But every one of us that have ever done it, you know how much greater it is when you've been praying every day during the week, reading the Bible every day during the week, walking with Jesus. Then you come to church. It's much more than it's ever been because you've been daily and I've been daily following the Lord. It's been proved throughout the millennium since Christ, proved by true believers that there are things we can do daily to follow Him. If we're following Him, we will do them. Amen. Daily in the Word, daily in prayer, daily in worship, daily in meditation. There are other things we may not do daily, but they'll be frequent. Times of solitude, times of fasting, times of special dedication to the Lord. You know, this thing I'm preaching about spiritually, we understand that. We understand that thing about daily physically, don't we? You say, what are you talking about, Brother Hurst? Think in terms of nurture of the body and hygiene. What if we had the same practice with nurturing our body? I'm talking about sustenance and food. And the same practice with our body in terms of hygiene as we many times do with following Jesus. I don't know if I stayed that real clear. What if we applied the same infrequency of our devotion to God to our partaking of food and our personal hygiene? Think about that. I mean, we understand the need of daily when it comes to eating. Don't tell me you don't believe that. How many eat every day? How many eat several times a day? I'm not giving an altar call. Just go ahead and raise your hand. We understand that. If you don't eat daily, you'll begin to suffer for it. We understand it when it comes to that. We understand that we need to brush our teeth daily. I never thought I'd preach a message like it. We need to groom daily. We need to wash daily. We understand that, don't we? I know they say things like after 14 days, you'll never get any dirtier. But who's going to try that? Who wants to try that? After 14 days, nothing more will stick to you. And if it's true in terms of the nurture and the hygiene of our body, don't you think it's also true in terms of the nurture and the hygiene of our soul? Our souls daily need fed. Our souls daily need cleansed. Daily prayer. Daily word. Now, before I give you the challenge, let me tell you, I'm talking about habits. Some people don't like that. Everything ought to be spontaneous. Everything, you know, if it's of the Spirit, it'll be spontaneous. And I don't have time to go there. But I want to tell you, when we're talking about habits, there are bad habits, but there's also good habits. You see, the thing about habits, they come by default. No one has to plan on having a bad habit. No one has to work on, I'm going to have this bad habit. I'll work. I'll try. Bad habits come by default, but good habits come by design. How many just by default started exercising? No problem, you just did it. I mean, just, no. Bad habits are by default. Good habits are by design. As you get older, I've been told I shouldn't reference that, but as you get older, more and more you see that your life consists of a conglomeration of habits. Some of us more so than others. I mean, I have a special schedule every day, and you know, at first you have to start setting the alarm to get up early. Then you ruin yourself. You're such in a habit of getting up at a certain time, you can't sleep past that time. How much just done and ruined it for yourself? You can't even sleep in anymore. You marvel at those of the younger set that can sleep. They can sleep past 8 o'clock. How many marvels at that? Sleep past 8 o'clock. It's a good habit. But you see, with this, bad habits lead to bad consequences. But good habits lead to good consequences. And when we talk about following Jesus, we're talking about the development of holy habits. Let me give you one more illustration and we'll move on to the challenge. Holy habits are like studying and exercise. All you kids are excited about, young people are excited about getting back in school next week for most of you. You're really excited about that. Well, this thing about good habits applies to exercise and study. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but and this isn't research. This is just from Brother Beal from years of teaching. But let's start with the study. Let's say you have a huge test on Friday. Most people will be inclined to wait till Thursday night and study for 5 hours to cram for that test on Friday. Go ahead, be honest. How many would be inclined to do that? Okay. I got a question for you. 5 hours, right? What if we took that 5 hours and we spread it out 1 hour a day? 1 hour on Sunday, if we can get by doing that on the Lord's Day. But 1 hour on Sunday, 1 hour on Monday, 1 hour on Tuesday, 1 hour on Wednesday, 1 hour on Thursday. So that's still 5 hours, but 1 hour a day. Whom do you think overall is going to do better on the test? The one that studied 1 hour every day or the one that studied 5 hours, never touched it, but studied 5 hours on the night before the test? It's the one that did it every day. Some of you that work out, who's going to develop? Who's going to have the greater effect on the body? The one that worked out 1 hour a day or the one that worked out 5 hours in one day and then left it for another week? And then it's the daily. It's the daily. It's the daily. You can't do that with some. You can't say, well, you know, I normally spend 2 minutes brushing my teeth. And so tonight, Sunday, and for the 6 more days till next Sunday, that would be 6 times 2. That's 12 minutes. Of course, if you add the morning, that's 24 minutes. So tonight before I go to bed, I'll just brush my teeth for 24 minutes, and I'll have it done for the rest of the week. It don't work that way. There's so much of life, it's only daily. And could I say very practically, serving God is daily. Here's the daily challenge for this evening. Acts 17 and 11. I'll spend very little time on this. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and they searched the scripture. Say it with me. Daily. Daily they searched the scripture whether those things were so. So here is the challenge. Read your Bible daily. Now listen, I know many of you do. And for you, I'm commending you and I'm confirming you tonight. We're not pinpointing those that don't. I don't know who does or who doesn't. So if you do, I'm just encouraging you to continue that. If you don't, the challenge is tonight, at the beginning of 2016, you commit yourself to reading your Bible every day. Amen. Isn't that a great challenge? Daily, read your Bible. How many believes we need a daily input of the Word of God? That's the challenge. Now, you might have noticed that I did it differently this time. This time, I didn't say the challenge is to read your Bible through this year. I didn't put the challenge that way. I'm going to talk to you about that. Hold on. The challenge is read your Bible daily. Amen. Now, if you want to take the challenge, read your Bible through this year, that's great. In fact, I've even once again provided some plans for that. When you leave tonight, out on the desk, I've given you 3 different plans for reading your Bible through this year. The first is a canonical. That just means as the order the books are listed in your Bible. This plan will help you read straight through your Bible as the books are listed. Also in the back, there is the chronological. Some have found that very interesting. If you've never read the Bible through chronologically, you read the portions of Scripture through according to the time in history that they occurred. That's why Job is before Abraham and different things like that. You read your Bible through. They'll take those passages. If you're in the book of Acts and Paul happened to write a letter there, an epistle, you'll stop right there in the story of the book of Acts. It'll insert that epistle. There's also in the back, there's a plan for reading the Old Testament and the New Testament simultaneously. There's passages from both. And so I think that's a great challenge. If you want to take that challenge to read your Bible through this year, I mean, those things are in the back as an aid. and it helped to do that. Now, having said that, I'm not against it. I'm for that. I want to see that. That's wonderful. But I think we ought to deal with reality. Let me tell you some drawbacks from taking the challenge to read your Bible through in 1 year. First of all, and if you do, that's great. I'm happy. But listen, let me just tell you this. First of all, it's very easy to get discouraged when you get behind. How many's ever tried to read the Bible through and because of different events that happened, you got behind 3 or 4 days? Many folks at that point become so discouraged because they're so far behind, they give it up. It really happens. They give it up. How could I'd have to read my Bible 5 hours or 6 hours a day to get caught up. And so it discourages some folks to give up. Secondly, now listen, this is fine. I'm just talking about some drawbacks. Sometimes when we're trying to get through the Bible in a year, we have to watch it because our goal becomes to get through the Bible rather than to get from the Bible. How many of those know those are two different things, to get through the Bible as opposed to get something from the Bible? Another drawback is sometimes you're so aware that you've got those chapters to read that day that you don't stop and look around. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. Stop and look around. Let's say you're going to head somewhere, wherever. It's 10 hours away, and you say, look, it's 10 hours away, so we're going to get in the car right now, and 10 hours from now is 6 o'clock tonight. We're going to get there by 6 o'clock tonight. How many historical markers are you going to stop and look at? How many bargains are you going to shop for? How many people are you going to really spend time talking to that you meet there, locals? No. You're going to do one thing. I've got to get there. And so sometimes we don't look around when our goal is simply to get through the Bible in 1 year. Again, if that's what you want to do, that's great. That's great. That's wonderful. Amen. But let's change that just a little bit. Whether you go by this plan or not, let's make the challenge this way. I commit myself to read the Bible daily. Whether I'm following the schematic here or whether I'm just going to read a certain amount of time. I've set 20 minutes to read today or 30 minutes. However you do it, may the commitment be every day, daily, I'm going to read my Bible. That's the challenge. Will it work that way, whether you follow this or not? I'm going to read my Bible daily. Now listen, because I love to teach on this, and I've taught whole Bible school and seminar classes on this, we could talk all night about how to read and study the Bible. In fact, that's one of the most asked questions I get. Even this week, I was telling the brothers, we've had several, in the last few weeks, several people that's been listening online that have written in encouraging emails about how God is speaking and moving in their life. But one question I got from one of those individuals this week is, how do I do Bible study? How do I get something from the Bible? And I'm not going to get in that. Maybe another time, another format, but we could talk all night. And so I'm going to boil it down to simply two things to do when you read your Bible. Just two things to do when you read your Bible. Number one, set your heart to know what God was intending to say. When you read that, what was God intending to communicate? Sometimes we read the Bible looking for ammo. Sometimes we read the Bible to see if we can find something that agrees with what we want to say and what we want to believe. And we have a habit of taking things and just, well, this is the way I've heard it and this is the way I think. But when we read our Bibles, number one, we should be desiring to know, God, what were you intending to say? Put another way, what's really going on there? What's really happening there? The second thing I would encourage you as you read your Bible is to set your heart to know and to hear. Set your heart to hear what God is saying to you that day. You want to know what God intended to say, but what is God saying to me today through what I have read? Now look, I said I wouldn't go this route, but just briefly here. How many will confess that when you're reading your Bible, sometimes you can read one or two chapters and then realize you don't remember a thing. You don't even begin to know what you read. Cruise control reading. How many does cruise control reading? Let's change our attitude about that, or not maybe attitude, our outlook on that. We open our Bible to read today, but constantly we ask ourselves this question. God, what are you saying to me today? Now remember, that must be rooted in and grounded in what God intended to say. If not, we'll take scripture out of context, we'll take a phrase here and there. It's got to be rooted in what God intended to say. But God, through that, what are you saying to me today? Don't you want to hear God talk to you? How many things that God's going to talk to you during the commercials, during the ball game? That's about the only time he'd get a word in. But how many believes if you're in the Word, that's a prime time for God to talk to you? How many needs, how many desires God to talk to you? Amen. Amen. So ask yourself, amen, what is God intending? And let me just put it one different way. What today can I take away from my Bible reading? It may be one verse, maybe one thought, but before you close your Bible, fix it in your mind, maybe jot it down. Don't try to write a book, but just maybe one little thing and say, this is what I'm taking from my Bible reading today. This is what God is saying to me. You see, if this all happens, number one, there must be a desire. Did you know the only people who really will read their Bibles daily are those that have a heart desire to hear from God and to follow, as we've been preaching, to follow Jesus? There must be a desire. I believe the desire is here, even in our young people. I've already heard it. Young people's got a desire. This year, I'm going to read my Bible every day. There must be a desire. There must be a plan. Whether it's exercise, change of diet, work, whatever, it only happens if we have a plan. What plan? Maybe it's to read the Bible through according to this schematic. Amen. You know, let me just say this. Now I got to go on. This is back to the preaching thing, but this thing's not in the talk. So many people know how to talk about spiritual things. I'm telling you the truth. You listen out in the marketplace. They'll talk about spiritual things, and the next thing you know, a curse word's coming out of their mouth. The next thing, they're telling a filthy joke. The next time, it's not in the talk. It is in the walk. It's the daily. Amen. So there must be a plan. There must be a time. There must be a time. Some like to read their Bibles in the morning. Some like to read their Bibles in the evening. Some men, women may want to read their Bibles during a break period. But there must be a time if we read our Bibles daily. And then last of all, there must be a commitment. And I think research has borne this out over and over again. But if you will calculatively, if you will purposefully do something for 21 days straight, it will become an ingrained habit. Isn't that good to know? And so basically, if you can read your Bible for 21 days straight, it'll pretty much become a habit. Every day you'll just automatically reach for your scripture. And we want this to be more than a habit, but habits are good, holy habits. I've got a little saying I developed for myself and I've shared through the years. Don't let when you can't keep you from when you can. Don't let when you can't keep you from when you can. For instance, let me just make up something. You're going to read your Bible every day, and tomorrow, God forbid, you wake up with the flu, and you're so sick you can't read your Bible. You're sick for 3 days, and so you couldn't read your Bible for 3 days. You're just so sick. It's really hard the next day to read your Bible because you feel like you've already blown it, and you're not in the habit of it. Same thing happens with exercise. You guys know that. You'll be going on a good stretch. Day after day, something will hit, and for 3 or 4 days you can't exercise, and so you get so discouraged you just quit. Don't let when you can't keep you from when you can. Same with church attendance. Don't let when you truly can't keep you from when you can. It's the human nature. It's a human nature. Now, I could give a lot of incentive to read the Word of God. Let me simply give you 3 verses, all from the same chapter, Psalm 119. Here it is. Thy word, incentive number one, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. How many would like to live more, don't lift a hand, it's real personal, but how many would like to live more pure this year? How many would like to stay away from sin that would defile and lead you away from God? This is it. The word of God keeps us from sin. And as another man put it, and sin keeps us from the word of God. Second scripture, incentive, motivation. 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light into my path. So much darkness, so much not knowing what to do. But thy word is a lamp into my feet and a light into my path. Instead of writing those 1,000 words, maybe if they took up the 1,000 words, Brother Beal, in Congress and begin to read this book, they might know better what we should do for our country. How many believes this word is a lamp? One more incentive to read the word of God daily. Same chapter, Psalms 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy way. It's a filthy world. We live in it. How do we stay pure? How do we keep our minds pure? I'm talking about beyond sin even. How do we just keep ourselves undefiled? We read the word. We read the word. Would you come, music? I'm not a detective or anything like that, but did you know I can tell in church who hasn't been reading their Bible daily? How many knows I can do that? As a rule, I mean, there's exceptions to every rule. You know how I can tell who's not reading? There's a special mark that appears on your forehead if you haven't been. I'm joking. I had some of you scared before you thought that through. You know how I can tell who hasn't been reading their Bible consistently? Because when the Word of God is preached, there's very little or any interest in the preached Word of God. Now, I know there are people who do not read their Bibles who can listen and look attentive. I know it doesn't work that way. But if it's somebody that consistently has no real desire in the preaching, whether it's teaching in a Sunday school class, preaching, if they have little desire in the church, in the preaching of the Word, I can pretty much assure you they have not been reading their Bibles. Amen. Young person, older person, there's no attentive listening, no wanting to get into. There's just something that happens. When you begin to read the Word of God, you have a hunger for more of it and more of it. Listen, this isn't written just by men. Men were the instrument. This is the Word of God. This is revelation. This is what we could not have known or ever reasoned to had not God shown it to us. This is the inspired Word of God, profitable for reproof, for instruction in righteousness. It edifies, divides asunder, it pierces into our heart, it discerns our thoughts. We need this. And so the challenge I leave us at Union Road, read your Bible daily. Daily read your Bible. Could you stand? Thank you, God's people. Would you stand across the building? It's not just an emotional decision because you have to rework your day. You have to rework your schedule, right? How many's already been thinking about that? You know, don't lift a hand, but maybe you haven't been reading your Bible daily. If you read your Bible tomorrow and throughout the week, you'll have to rearrange some things. And so this is a commitment to go to work on that and do what's necessary. Amen. But I just want you to do this tonight. This ultimately is between you and the Lord. You know, I could have spread the rhetoric around tonight. You know, folks will listen to at least 30 minutes of news a day on the television or radio. And how's that work out for you? How do you feel when you get done with that? How many feels encouraged after your 30 minutes of news? Yeah. What would 30 minutes in the Word do? Oh, but Pastor, when you get to so-and-so, begat so-and-so, begat so-and-so, begat so-and-so, begat so-and-so. I want to tell you something about all that. If you're looking for what God was intending to say, and you have the attitude, what can I take from the Scripture today? Somewhere in there, the Holy Ghost is going to be at work. He's going to speak to you. Amen. Sometimes it's that thing, He wants to see if we're willing to wade through the baguettes to get to what He really wants to show us. Leviticus? I told you I wouldn't get into this tonight. Did you know some of the greatest blessings I've ever got were out of the book of Leviticus? Amen. So tonight, this ultimately is between you and the Lord. If you're willing to take the challenge, the daily challenge, tonight it's read your Bible daily. If you're ready to take the daily challenge, and this is a lot better than a lot of other challenges that are on social media. And I'm not getting a dime for giving this challenge tonight. Not a dime. Listen, if you're willing to take the challenge between you and God, I'm going to read, and again, many of you are, I'm encouraging you, I'm affirming that. If you're willing to take the challenge, I'm going to read my Bible every day in 2016. As a sign of that commitment, won't you just come and pray tonight? And as you pray, if you haven't been able to do that, pray that God will show you how to work that out in your life. If you want to take that commitment, I'm going to read my Bible. Daddy, would you come and just find a place to pray? And from here, it's between you and the Lord. But I want to take that commitment to read my Bible daily. Amen. Let's come and find a place to pray. Amen. Maybe you are. Just say, my commitment is to continue to read my Bible daily. I'm going to be in the Word every day. What am I going to take from it? What is the Lord speaking to me? It'll make a difference. It don't matter where you go to school, where you work. Read His Word every day. It'll make a difference in your life. Daily, 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 daily. Talk to the Lord about it. Daily. I've had it all, but what I want, what I need. More of your word, more of your truth, more of your instruction. Oh, God, speak to us. Lord, speak to your people through the reading of your word. Listening as we read, Lord, daily, daily.
More of you.
Daily diet, Lord, of your word.
I've had it all, but what I need is more of you.
Oh, God, I take the challenge. I commit myself to read your word every day. Thank you, Jesus. Empty and bare, Lord.
Empty and bare.
Lord, hear my prayer.
Lord, hear my prayer.
More of you, Lord.
More of you.
More of you through your word. More of you. We want truth, Lord. That's what we're after. Truth.
Here's
truth.
My cup, Lord.
Daily truth.
I lift it up, Lord.
It'll affect the way we think, the way we feel, the way we do.
Amen.